shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again. We would like to thank all the people out there that support our radio station in the area. And today is Sunday, January.
January? Wow.
September.
Whoa, who won the election?
Are you asking us maybe who we're going to put in office?
That was kind of a Freudian slip there. Excuse me. I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer and soundboard operator and all-around great guy.
Where does the time go?
We also have a special guest today with us, Patrick Jones, who's running to be reelected for city council.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. You bet. Let's see. Let's get some of the housekeeping out of the way here. We're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in. And if you have any questions or concerns or statements that are short, 530-605-4567. All shows are podcast and archived as well. You can still friend me on Facebook because I'm running about 5,990, I think. So there's 10 slots left. They seem to be rotating a little bit. I'm unfriending people who just are, you know, either obnoxious or whatever.
And, there's always a few of those.
So you can go to Mark E. Kent and do that. Or you can go to Sovereign Minds and Facebook there, and I'm starting to gather over there as well. We encourage you to go to www.shastalantern.com. And get the news that's fit to actually print the truth.
The truth?
Yes. Gee.
Only the truth?
I mean, you notice how I stumbled over that because it's like I'm thinking of all of our other local news and everything, and the truth just is not what popped up into my mind.
It's an abstract concept.
I know. What a concept.
Yeah.
Quote of the day, I got two of them. First one is, there's no strength without unity, Irish proverb. How do you say that? Proverb. Remember, a real decision is measured by the fact that you have taken new action. If there is no action, you haven't truly decided. That would be Tony Robbins. Okay. Let's talk about the Tea Party. What do we got going on Monday? Chris Ann Hall?
We have Chris Ann Hall on Monday at 6 p.m. at Bonnie View Baptist Church. Well, it's Destiny Fellowship.
Destiny Fellowship.
Yep.
What is it you and Aaron keep wanting to call it?
You just get on that roll. You know, you're on the roll. It's in your head. You know, it's still Bonnie View, I guess.
Former Bonnie View Baptist Church.
Destiny Fellowship at 2570 South Bonnie View. It's still on Bonnie View, but it's not Baptist anymore. And anyway, that's where the Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. Be there or be square.
Yeah, and it's Chris Ann Hall, and she does a great job talking about the Constitution and letting us know things that a lot of people didn't know.
Get up off the couch. It'll be great for your backside.
Yeah, and bring your children.
Bring your children. Come in. Yeah. Start getting involved because at some point in time in the near future, and it's already there, I think, it's not going to be optional. This is not getting better, folks, until you start participating in the process.
And I don't care who you are. You can always learn something, and she brings some great information to the table.
There you have it. So with that,
I do have some events. Yes, I do. October 25th, we have Founders Day happening out at the Veterans Home. It will be 1 year since we opened up out there. So come out and help us celebrate at the Veterans Home. That's on Knighton Road. So it ought to be a lot of good stuff. We're going to have displays of the Huey helicopter out there, and there's going to be food and, you know, all that good stuff. And you can tour the Veterans Home and see what's going on right now. We have 60 residents out there. Actually, and we have two females out there, and one, it's actually a couple that we have out at the veterans' home now. So it's a veteran and his wife out there at the home. So that's a really good thing that we got going on there. And I know you were in January that Christmas isn't that close, but it is. We got Christmas for the troops coming on December 20th. At the December 14th, I'm sorry, December 14th at the Senior Citizen Hall, which is 2290 Benton Drive. So, and then we have the feast for the Servicemen's Feast on December 20th. And that's all veterans, firemen, all EMTs, everything's invited to that. And that's at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street that we put on every year. So just mark those dates in your book.
Well, I think there's another upcoming event. It's probably, what time? When is Halloween? We got political Halloween this year.
You got 31st this year.
31st. I don't think they changed it yet, but give them a chance.
Yeah. You trick or treat and wait for the stock market to crash.
And all spooky. And also today, we have the last day of the air show, and the Exchange Club of Reading is doing a great job out there today. And within about an hour, if you can still, you still have time to get out, the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, they're going to be doing a small fundraiser out there with the giant American flag. That's the Guinness Book World Record giant flag that from Air Shasta, and they tow that behind a helicopter, of all things. And so that's going to go on in about an hour, but it's a great air show. The weather's great out there, so you can also get out there today.
Yeah, it's not 150 degrees. Yeah, and it's like we're not dancing on the sun anymore. So I mean, it's been a long hot summer. I don't know about anybody else. I'm ready for a little cool weather in the fall.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there right now.
Cool weather means hunting season. I don't know about anybody else, but that's what it means to me. So with that, we've got a couple minutes before the break. We've got Patrick Jones, and what's your middle name, Patrick?
Henry.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Patrick Henry Jones. That's not a patriotic name by any stretch, is it?
Well, my dad was thinking that he was going to be calling me Frank, and he was mad at his brother Frank, so he decided that he was reading a book on the Constitution and some of the quotes there and around that time, and so he thought Patrick Henry would be better, and I think that's better than Frank.
Yeah, so Frank Henry Jones or not? Yeah, that doesn't work quite as well, does it? But the I believe it fits you, quite frankly, and I think you're a patriot, and that's why we like to have you on the show. And also, you have a gun store over there on Cypress.
Yeah, it's our 54th year selling firearms in the state of California, so monumentally difficult. And to be honest, to try to do that for the next 54 years, I don't see how it's going to be possible with what we have in Sacramento. But we're in it for the long haul, and as long as Sacramento is still doing what they are doing, we'll try everything we can to continue to sell firearms. We're losing a tremendous number of them. In fact, you'll start noticing that as early as January 1st, 2015. Going to the Constitution and what we can do here locally, my name is Patrick Henry, and so I do think about that. I do think about the quotes and the meaning of the Constitution on a regular basis, and that's still relevant here in the city of Reading. And so while we think of Sacramento and Washington and what happens on a national level, the Constitution is just as relevant here in the city of Reading, and it's just as important to abide by it, and we swear to uphold it. And some of my fellow colleagues have violated the Constitution right here in our own city, and I think that's appalling when it never needed to be. It's still relevant today.
The idea that it's not relevant has been a mainstream media grind for quite some time, and you can see the results of not following the Constitution. We stopped actually following it to the letter quite some time ago, and that's 90% of our problems, in my opinion, is that, we don't have a free market anymore. We don't have our rights protected by our government anymore. We're having to assert those ourselves, the rights themselves by getting involved and saying, hey, we're not going to put up with this anymore.
It's a lot of things. I mean, the First Amendment here in the city of Reading with the library issue and violating a person's First Amendment right of freedom of speech, time, place, and manner did not apply in front of the library when they tried to restrict folks from handing out constitutional pocket constitutions. And, you know, besides losing $285,000 of your hard-earned tax dollars, four of our five council members violated the Constitution. I also think we're currently violating it today with not allowing city employees to carry on city property when the regular population certainly can, properly permitted. The Constitution is clear on the Second Amendment that you have an individual right to keep and bear arms. That's very clear, and it shall not be infringed. And we're infringing
constantly
in these areas, and there's more. And so we're not abiding to the Constitution right here in our own city, and it's time, and we're starting to see a movement gathering with the public saying these are relevant things, and we're in violation of the Constitution. Don't disregard it. And I think partially this election is going to be about that.
I agree. Well, you know, you can't it's pretty hard to argue with common sense that it's not relevant. You look at what just happened in Oklahoma. What saved the day? It wasn't
right.
It wasn't an unarmed citizen going, "Hey, this is a gun-free zone." It was a off-duty sheriff that happened to be carrying that saved the day. And I don't know how you can argue that anymore. And in light of the terrorist situation, that they're here, folks, whether you want to believe it or not. And in my personal opinion, if you are not armed or trying to get a CCW so you can be armed, I think you're a fool.
Well, we have such a great opportunity here. Sheriff Tom Pazinko here for Shasta County literally bends over backwards. Once you take your class, any state-certified class, and you apply, as long as you have an appropriate background, he is going to push hard to make sure that you have a concealed weapon permit where you could carry three or four different handguns on you at any given time. And what the facts show when you carry is that you carry yourself better throughout your world, and you're most likely less likely to be a victim of a predator because how you carry yourself. And that's a true fact, in that having a permit, you're less likely to need to defend yourself and become a victim because of how you carry yourself. That's an important issue worldwide. And it's
yep.
And it's right here. We have a great opportunity with this sheriff. And so I really appreciate our sheriff working hard to make sure that people, and he understands that not only does he want you to have a permit, he wants you to carry.
That's a good point you brought up, Patrick, because being a female, I know, you know, it's easier for us to become victims a lot of times because people look for us, they pray, and having something to protect ourselves is very important there, you know.
And when you're only as tall as a Loopaloopa, it's even,
well, thanks
it's even
a lot.
Worse.
Yeah, I mean, when you're short and everything, what can I say? But, yeah, you know, they and if you don't carry yourself and let them know that you – you know you can protect yourself, they most definitely will come after you.
You know, we do classes every month, year-round. We have for decades, and so we meet a lot of folks, and we give a lot of instruction, and people are open to instruction. And, you know, when you first start carrying, you feel a little uncomfortable at first because it's something different, and you haven't done it before. In fact, you hadn't had the legal right to do it before, but now you do. And what happens after about 6 or 8 months, you start feeling good with it, and you start feeling comfortable.
Yes, you do. With that, I think we're going to take a break. If you have a question or comment for Patrick Jones, you can call in at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Two flags fly above my head, some of how I feel.
Not sure what happened there, Bob.
One is the colors that fly high and proud, the red, the white, the blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave. Because this is me. I'm proud to be American and strong in my belief. Say it again, cause I've never needed government to hold my hand, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again,
'cause my family's always fought and died to save this land, and a country boy is all I'll ever be.
Analog Living in a Digital World. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Hello, Frank Muse with Norton Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites. For those who don't want to worry about fuel on site, give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have one or two used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Yep, Hank Jr., hard to beat.
Can't be beat.
That's very true.
I know you're a big Hank Jr. fan. That's why I play it. So let's go back. Where were we? We were talking about the Second Amendment, and the First Amendment came up. And I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the public comment period out there. And I'm sure that, you know, it's kind of been whipped to death here a little bit. Well, we should probably hit on it.
Well, you know, the public comment period is extremely important because it's our chance. It's the time that we get to listen to the public in an open setting that's recorded for all to hear. So I think it's a very important time. In fact, it might be the most important thing we do at council is listen to the public with items that are within the city's jurisdiction. Now, we knew from the past that when you put the public comment period at the end of a council meeting, council meetings don't end at a particular time. They end when the business of the day is over, which can be at 8, 9, 10, 2 o'clock in the morning. It's uncertain. And so when you put it at an uncertain time, many people, most people, can't stay for that. They have to get up and go make some sales so that we have some tax money to spend. And so we lose those people. So,
but aren't they the unwashed masses that we, you know, I mean, do we really care what they have to say?
Well, we should. Any elected official should hear from the public. And in fact, they should be basing a lot of their decisions, maybe all their decisions, based on what they hear from our community. Because I don't care what happens in San Jose. I don't care what happens in Vallejo. But I highly care what happens in the city of Redding. And when our people speak, we should be listening to that. Some council members, I think, have that wrong. We moved the public comment period. I didn't do it, but the majority of council members did, to the end. We got exactly what you would expect, is that we got less people speaking. We have experience of this in the past. We've done it both ways. And they did this particularly, and Council Member Sullivan, I want to pick on her because I should, because she voted to do that, and she is one of these folks that are trying to be reelected to council. They did it so that they did not have to listen to certain people before this election. They did not want the public to hear what certain people had to say. That's fundamentally wrong. We listen to everybody. We listen to the good. We listen to the bad. We should be open for criticism. We should identify it. When we're wrong, we should admit it and move on and remember when we've made mistakes. And by eliminating the public comment period, and of course their response is, hey, you still have the right to speak for 3 minutes, but it's at the end of the meeting, is just fundamentally wrong.
So what you're saying is that all people who are elected to public office should have integrity? Is that what I'm getting?
Well, I tell you, this was just, you know, and some say, you know, there's much bigger issues at the city and you know, you're making a big deal of this public comment period. But I would really differ with that, and I would disagree with that. It's a big deal. We listen to the public. That's our job. If it takes all night to listen to the public, let's do it. We only meet twice a month. We need to listen to the people. And clearly, by putting it at the end, when you have experience of doing that before and you knew what would occur, it's just wrong. And they did it. And they did it on a 3-2 vote. Myself and Councilmember Cadd would not support such a move. We're there to listen to the public. And the public, I think, has been spot on with staying on issues that are relevant to the city of Redding, that are within our jurisdiction. Some council members did not like that type of scrutiny.
They just don't want to hear it.
They did not want to hear it, and they put these people at the rear. And it's just wrong. And the public, you know, and I blame partially this. I blame the council members first and foremost because they did it. But in addition to that, the Record Searchlight did not let the public know, and they knew it, this was on the agenda for Thursday, and they did not let the public know over the course of the next 5 days that this was going to be a topic and you probably want to come down and speak to it. They deliberately did not put that bit of information. That should have been front page news, and they only put it on electronically on the Tuesday of and not first thing in the morning. They did it deliberately.
Well, they're corrupted as far as I'm concerned. It's a Scripps newspaper. They cut, you know, it should be the cut and paste Searchlight or the Wretched Fleshlight, if you ask me.
Well, it's why their circulation, Mark and Linda, is down so much. They had, you know, triple circulation not too long ago. It's down terribly, and it's even prompted now local new publications like the Shasta Lantern that's getting a lot of looks now. So they've done it to themselves. And, you know, I've talked with the reporters over the years in the paper, and I said, you know, all you have to do is print the truth and let the public decide
Aren't they? Yeah. That's what they're supposed to be doing, is they're supposed to be a watchdog for the public, not a lapdog for the powers that be, whether it's local, state, or federal. And that, you know, they just, you know,
they're supposed to do true journalism, which they don't do anymore.
They aren't journalists anymore. What they are is they are lapdogs. So,
well, and they've picked and chose what they want.
Sure.
And it's not, that's not the way that it
should
be. Well,
isn't it just funny that most, our government is, steamrolling us towards a totalitarian communist regime? Because that's really, you get communist, the buzzwords. The real deal is, that's exactly where we're headed. And you better wake up to the fact. So it's just a coincidence that the media is doing that in a consistent and a very meticulous way.
Well, the one bright spot maybe is that the paper recently has a new publisher coming on board. I have not yet spoken with him. I plan to actually later this week, and that's a very important role.
I hope so.
And
well, let's hope it's different in our favor.
Well, let me ask you a question, shifting gears here real quick. If the state of Jefferson actually becomes viable and becomes a state, do you need to have a professional league team here in order for you to want to be a part of the state?
Well, I tell you what, splitting the state, it's not only viable, but it's the only solution. It's the only solution if this end of the state is going to get proper representation. And I don't care the name of this new state, of the 51st state. The name doesn't matter.
As long as it's not Oz.
But it does matter that this happens and the momentum is carrying. This is the greatest movement to split this state that we've ever seen. And a lot of that movement is coming right out of Shasta County and Siskiyou County. Mark Beard and the crew there have been unbelievably superb at what they're doing. They're describing exactly what's happening. They're being honest and open and truthful, and we're so far in debt with this state and under so much state mandates that it's crippling our own success.
Well, they're spot on with the lack of representation. I mean, that's what it's really all about. It's, one of those things, and we've got a caller on the line. We'll get back to him. Let me just finish my thought here. It's one of those things that is fundamental to a Republican form of government. We're not a democracy. We are a republic. And we're not operating as a republic anymore under the current system of the way the senators are elected to Sacramento. And that's what it's all about. These people are well-informed, and the media had better jump on some of this stuff and start reporting the facts as opposed to, all the feel-good and let's pander to our constituents that are pretty much left-wing economists.
Before we get to Billy Bob, I want to bring up something when we're talking about this. I was looking online. Anyway, do you know California, out of 50 states, California is the 49th state that we're losing freedom so fast
that we need
to do something. I mean, it's incredible.
Everybody's got their hand out because they think the government's going to take care of them, and in the end, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
So let's – we got Billy Bob on the line here.
From Palo Cedro, are you there?
We're going to have to
– Yes.
Billy
– I know you're up against a break. I'll be brief.
That's what I need.
Thank you for taking the call.
You read my mind. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, listen, Patrick Jones, what an anchor in this community you are, and I just want to give you encouragement. And I am telling everybody about this political campaign that we must win in your regard. The city council has got it all wrong. Your 3-2 vote proves that in every critical issue, and I just want to encourage you. Plus, I got one more note, and I've addressed it last week on Free Fire Radio to Francie Sullivan and this Christian Schrader, and I asked him about the fact that this construction business, this whole industry that drives this economy has been shut down by these impact fees, and I know how you stand on that. I've talked to you on the phone before that they've been doubled in 02, doubled in 04 and whatnot, and that moratorium a year and a half ago created $16 to $20 million worth of industry. And Sullivan and this trader goes, oh, well, yeah, but the city lost $1 million in fees. They got $2 million in fees and lost $1 million. So, hey, good luck on your campaign. I'm telling everybody to vote for you.
Well, thanks a lot
for the comment, Billy. Let's come back, and Patrick can address that. Let's go to the break real quick. We'll come back, and then we also have another caller on the line, Gary, and we'll get to you as soon as we can, Gary.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Count your dreams. Happiness. this ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and the stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, appearing in the Elements Restaurant and Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino Thursday, October 2nd, from 7 to 9 p.m. Join us as we recreate the vibe of the great lounge era, where musicians like Pat Karch, Bruce Kalin, and Bobby Veramentes play the wonderful standards of the great American songbook. Oh, yeah, and me, Linda Bot. I'll be at the mic singing my heart out. Dining, dancing, and a night to make memories. October 2nd in the Elements Restaurant and Lounge at the Wind River Resort and Casino. That's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds.
Hi, this is Sherry with the Good News Rescue Mission, and today a young lady named Venus came into the mission, and she was so happy and even had tears in her eyes, and that wasn't her story not too long ago, because she came to the mission homeless, broken, afraid, alone, and today, through the help of those of you who support us and the programs of the Good News Rescue Mission, she, with a smile on her face, got a job and is going back to college, and her life has completely been restored. In her own words, she said, "The mission changed my life." Venus is just one of thousands whose lives have been transformed at the Good News Rescue Mission. To hear more stories like hers, or to make a donation and help be a part of that solution, or to refer somebody in need, go to our website at gnrm.org. That's for Good News Rescue Mission. Or check us out on Facebook. Become a part of the solution. That's the Good News Rescue Mission, gnrm.org.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Here we don't apologize for America. That old BFW, that is sacred ground.
There's some more Hank for you.
I've
got to say he's one of my faves, too. So let's go back to Billy Bob's question, answer that, then we'll get to Gary, and then we have another caller on the line. And let's just try to move through as fast as we can and get as much done.
Well, thank you, Billy Bob, for the call, and I appreciate that. I'm not sure what to think about being called an anchor, but you know what? I'll take that. That's
better than a rock.
That's a lot better than some things some folks call me. So, but I appreciate that, and I know exactly what you mean. The reality is that the impact fees are set for accommodation of future growth. And when they doubled those fees in 2002 and then doubled them again in 2004, based on growth projections, that never came. They needed to be corrected in a downward manner. This council did that, and I was a part of that. We reduced them for 200 permits, and we reduced those fees by one-third, and they instantly got pulled, and we improved the economy by at least $16 million back into the economy, and we put 750 people to work, and that's how you get things going. We get out of the way. We don't create those jobs. They're there, but we control whether they move forward or not. The fees are completely too high. We proved it. We received more money in. We didn't lose anything. We gained, and that's what some of my colleagues on council recently forgot, because I brought it back up again. If it worked good once, let's do it again. The fees are simply too high. They're stifling construction. On a single-family dwelling today, you have to spend $40,000 before you move dirt, and it's stifling our recovery. And we can do better than that. It's a culture change that needs to occur at City Hall, and we're really close to seeing that happen.
Well, interesting stuff, I'll tell you what.
That's a lot of money in permits.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. How do you get anything going? So we've got Gary on the phone from Reading. Gary, have you got a question for our guest?
Well, a statement first. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm proud to say I'm one of the five or six speakers that prompted the city council vote 3-2 to move the comment session to the end of the meeting because those three votes wanted to protect Francie Sullivan because she does not want to hear anything negative. She is not the only candidate for city council that does not want to hear anything negative. The cat's already out of bag. Kristen Schrader does not agree with the First Amendment, and she has a track record at the high school board meeting of saying that and trying to deny the First Amendment right to the union president, and that has happened more than one occasion. Now, DeQuisto, I think, is lukewarm on the First Amendment. I think he wants to put his finger in the air to see which way the wind is blowing. Mike Quinn, of course, is wants to reinstate the speaking period
before
back to the beginning, and I don't know where Weaver is, so maybe Patrick Jones could comment on that if it's an issue, and I do believe it is an issue. I, for one, do not attend the meetings anymore because who knows when you will end up being a speaker. So anyway, I'll take my answers on the air. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Gary. And, you know, and I really appreciate guys like Gary that did come to council and speak, and they spoke their mind, they spoke their heart, and they spoke the truth. And we're seeing more and more of that. And so I appreciate you, Gary, coming to council and speaking your mind. I think right now in this contest with six candidates, I think the only two people that I know that firmly have come out and said the public comment period needs to be moved back to the front was myself, Patrick Jones, and Mike Quinn. And for the rest of them, they seem to be happy with the situation as to where it's at. That's what I remember from the debates. And of course, we know where Councilmember Sullivan stands. She was one of those votes that moved it to the rear, along with our mayor, Rick Pizzetti, and Councilmember MacArthur. Fundamentally wrong. It was a very easy decision. Without the scrutiny from the paper, this is what happens. And this is what happened in Bell, California, without having the scrutiny, with no one knowing what's happening at your city hall, then bad things happen. And we allowed this to happen because the paper took no part in it. And while some people did come forward and comment saying this is fundamentally wrong, we didn't get enough comment because it didn't get out to the public. And I'll bring it back. You know that, Gary. I'll bring it back as soon as I can. Right now, you know the council split 3-2. And it's not because of dysfunction. You'll hear some of these candidates talk about dysfunction. This is not dysfunction. It's a different way of looking at problems and policies. And that's not dysfunction. And so I want everyone to be clear about that. Dysfunction is when you have arguing and bickering and name-calling and those types of things. And I think if you come to council, you'll see a respectful council. But we have different ways of looking at a problem. And I can tell you this. Councilmember Sullivan has not once ever disagreed with a staff recommendation. So my question is, why have her?
Yeah, and, well, that, I mean, to me, that's corruption, because if you're just going to go along with whatever the staff dictates, why? Why would you do that? Are you just friends with them and you don't care about the people? Are you elected to serve the people or the staff of the city? What's going on there? And then
where's the checks and balances in that equation?
You start
at all.
Seeing all this stuff, and I mean, the first thing that comes to mind to me is corruption. Why is that? You know, I guess maybe, you know, Bell, California is an example. Were they corrupt? Oh, I don't know. You know, $500,000
a year
salaries. And, wow, gee, what's the salaries of our guys here? And what's the union payouts on the pensions and that all screwed up? It seems like everybody's got their hand in the trough. And I'm not saying anything against unions, private unions. I don't like the public unions because their hands are in the trough way deep. And that's what's bankrupting most of the cities and states across the country, quite frankly.
You know, and we've had many debates and many forums, and at the Cascade Theater recently we had a debate, and I saw Mike Warren sitting out in the audience. In fact, he was right in the center, and I made a comment then that you know, that if the folks in the audience wanted to know more about the CalPERS scandal and the unfunded liabilities associated with that, and how it was retroactively given to all of our city employees in 2004 and 5. That Mike Warren's out in the audience. You might want to talk to him after the debate.
Yeah, very good.
And I got some criticism on that. And I asked people. I said, you know, I it's the truth. I said, is it not the truth? They said, yeah, it's the truth, but you probably shouldn't have said it. And I said, well, so wait a second here.
We're not supposed to report the truth anymore.
I'm not supposed to say what's honest and to be true, so that we can remember these mistakes, so we don't repeat them. And if it comes down to the point where I should not be truthful, then that's the day that I should not be there anymore.
I agree with that. Listen, we got another caller on the line, I think, still with us. Randy from Reading, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Very good. Right. Go ahead. You got your – here's your slot. Give it a shot.
Well, thank you very much. Mr. Jones. You got a good thing going on, buddy.
Personally and stress-wise, I don't know if I can agree with you there. But, well, you know, I do this job.
It's a tough job, and you make tough decisions, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
But anyway, my question is, and it may have been partially answered from a previous caller, but if you had your choice, who would you like to see sitting on the council with you?
You know, in these debates, we've learned a lot, and we've had many, and so I think that is very clear. The person that I believe that would do this city the best job, that's prepared, that's done his homework, is Mike Quinn. And and I honestly believe that. For the rest of them, I don't think they're ready, and I don't think they have the right mindset. But I know Mike is ready. I know Mr. Quinn is ready to do this job, and he's taking it seriously. He's done a superb job on the Reading Electric Utility Commission. He is a commissioner, and he's asking the types of questions that need to be asked, even though they may be painful and difficult to ask. That's the type of person I think this city needs on council. It's not what does me good. It's what does this city good, and I think he is going to be the best. And so if someone likes me and likes what I've tried to do for our city, I think they're going to like Mr. Quinn as well.
Well, that's 2 out of 5.
Well, 6. You've got 6 people to vote for. I know sometimes we miss a few in there. But really, myself and Mr. Quinn, those are people that I can tell you without question, if you're looking for fiscal responsibility, accountability, and adherence to the Constitution, those two people will do it. For the rest, I do not know.
Very good. Thanks for calling in, Randy. We appreciate it. Very good. The thing is that I wanted to talk, you know, we've heard a lot of things from Brent Weaver. Is it Brent or Brett?
Brent.
Brent. I'm sorry. And Brent Weaver's talked about, you know, all his business. You know, I've been to, you've seen me there at how many of these debates. I don't even know. I lost count and I was ready to, you know, I was suicidal there towards the end, but
you can imagine what they're like for the candidates.
Well, I guess I'm at an advantage here, is that, you know, by being on council, and this is my 6th campaign, running campaigns for myself, and so I've seen all these things, and this is certainly not the worst of them that we've seen as far as the difficulty of the schedule of the debates. And so I'm happy to have a debate. I want more debates.
Right.
I want the public to know exactly what you have. I think you need to be very clear and very honest, so that the public knows what they have in that person, so that you can elect the right person. And so more debates is better.
I think we've got one coming up where the council members and the incumbents, as well as the ones that are trying to get elected, are, can ask each other questions. And so, you know, that kind of segues in, you know, we've, you know, to what I was talking about with Weaver in the building downtown. He's always talking about how, you know, he would handle everything like he does his business, you know, but I mean, wasn't there subsidies I don't know the whole story. Maybe you can enlighten us.
Well, and Mr. Weaver is a candidate for Reading City Council, and of course there are six, and he is in a little bit different position in that, whereas Mike Quinn owns a radio station and does some advertising for the city of Reading, but it's quite minor. I've never done any business with the city other than paying my bills, and I do get $503 a month for being a council member. Mr. Weaver, on the other hand, is different in that he, when the redevelopment agencies for Reading was in effect, and we have the successor agency to that today because they've been abolished because of poor business practices, Mr. Weaver has received millions of dollars on three separate projects that are associated with redevelopment projects, one right here on this block with this very radio station. And the money amounts, you'd have to go look back, but I think it's totaling on three projects, maybe in and around $2 million, but you'd need to go look back and take a look at that. So my question there would be, while redevelopment was certainly a tool that the city used, and if used correctly to eliminate blight was the proper use of redevelopment funds, when you're doing that amount of business with the city of Reading, will you scrutinize some of the city staff decisions that are recommended to council? And that's a question only Mr. Weaver will be able to answer, and it's certainly a question for the public, is that if you've done that amount of business with the city, are you going to be beholden to the city? And that's a legitimate question that I think the public should ask. And Mr. Weaver should be open and honest about how much money he's received on each of the projects. If they're good projects, he should take pride in that. But can you scrutinize the city when you've done considerable amount of business with them? That is up to him. And you know, that's a legitimate question. Those are fair questions, and I think that's an honest thing that is out there.
Well, I think we got to go to one more break, and then I want to come back and let's talk about Stillwater a little bit, and then then whatever you want to get out on the table, Patrick, as far as, you know, what's going on right now, because there's so much. I was just putting on the chat room. I wish I had another hour.
Yeah,
you know?
We could burn it up pretty fast. But
so
there
we'll
go to a break. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Well, I like guns. I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. If they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns. I really like the 22 Mag, 45 lever with the Winchester tag. I like my double barrel, had it most of my life. 357 was a present for my wife. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale until I want them all. I like guns.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Time to lock and load. Time to get control. Time to search for soul.
and start again. So many times I've seen chances disappear. I hesitate and watch them slip away.
Yeah, we're not sure whether we should use this theme song for Patrick or I Like Guns, but I think maybe if the vote went out there,
I Like Guns
would probably win.
I think, the vote's in.
Who's that? Steve?
Steve Lee.
Steve Lee. Anyway, I like that song, too.
That's the best song ever.
What a good way to spend a Sunday morning, anyhow.
I thought Patrick was going to go into a dance here. He's going into dance mode here for a second. So anyway, let's come back with this. Let's talk about this, you know, what the redevelopment funds were originally intended for and their misuse a little bit before we go on to Stillwater and the other things. We're running out of time anyway.
Redevelopment funds were designed for the elimination of blight, and there were so much issues with them in the state of California that they essentially re-abolished all the redevelopment agencies within the state of California. Now, I'm not so sure that the state spending that money is any better than us, but clearly there were abuses within the redevelopment projects, and I'm not saying that Mr. Weaver's were an abuse of the redevelopment, but I've seen other projects here in the city of Reading that clearly were, it's a huge stretch to say that this was to eliminate blight or for public safety or something that allowed for.
Well, you know, I was just going to say one thing I've noticed about Weaver, and I've been to these debates, and I was charting out everything. I noticed that DeQuisto, Sullivan, Schrader, and Weaver are all in favor of Measure B, and I find that quite interesting, considering they're supposed to be on opposite sides of the field.
Well, I think if you look at some of the financial backers, it'll probably paint a better picture. And all kinds of issues come up. I know we wanted to talk about Stillwater. You know, I voted no on the Stillwater Business Park, I don't know, 20 different times. It's just simply put, it's not the role of government to act as a developer. And
right.
When we stray out of our role, we have a limited role that we play. When we stray from that, you end up spending $27 million of public funds and you have nothing to show for it. Now, that's something to remember. Now, it's not that I'm not going to try to fill it. We certainly are. But be honest about it. It's a misuse of public funds. Those money should have stayed from the departments from which they came. Today, we have this albatross that we have to try to market, and it's extremely difficult. Who's going to come to California today with what's all going on?
I thought it was all turning around out there. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, there are certainly people that come and look. And many of them are startups, or there are some possibilities out there. And so, you know, we're not going to stop pursuing filling it for its intended purpose because it's there and we will support it.
Yeah.
And but let's just not remember how we got there so we don't repeat it again.
Well, there you have it. So it doesn't look like Stillwater is going to be filled anytime soon. And you know, I got to go back to this whole Turtle Bay thing because I'll tell you what, you know, there's a lot of supporters for Turtle Bay, but Turtle Bay from day one has never been self-sufficient, has never been supported, has always been having to be supplemented by somebody. And when we looked at the money, when we were just talking about this Measure B, it sure is funny that all of the candidates that I mentioned are all in favor of that. And then you go back to the money. You know, maybe we don't want to touch on that a little bit, but you know something? It seems pretty fishy to me.
Mark, in closing on with regards to that process, it's not about prevailing wage. It's about land and acquiring land, and that's really what it's about. Turtle Bay McConnell Foundation could have built that hotel over 2 years ago. It's not about a prevailing wage issue. It's about acquiring land, and McConnell Foundation is the largest landowner in the city of Reading.
We got Riley saying businesses will come to the state of Jefferson, and then Critical Thinker is great. Yeah, well, it should be named the Shady Rest Hotel. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, a government involved in all this stuff, what could go wrong?
I didn't tell you.
But I can, no problems here, guys.
I can tell you in closing that it's been an honor for me to serve on the Reading City Council these last 8 years, and it's been a very humbling process and procedure to do the work of the citizens. And while I have not had as many policies go the direction that I would like, that I think is a better vision and future for the city, a more fiscally sound city, we're in some serious issues with these unfunded liabilities. the condition of our roads, the rising crime rate. We have some serious issues that must be addressed, and I'm ready to do that as long as I can get some help.
Well, if everybody better hope the stock market doesn't crash, because if it does, unfunded liabilities is not going to be just a problem. It's going to be a huge problem.
Yes. And we want to thank you for coming in, Patrick, and spending the time with us.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for all that you do.
We appreciate it. Thanks. As I have to say every week, you were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic, and government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Where the Don Shulman Show follows after the news here on KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. A Syrian oil refinery held by ISIS near the border with Turkey has gone up in smoke today in an apparent attack by the U.S. and its coalition. A local businessman says the airstrikes shook buildings and sent flames shooting into the air as explosions lit the sky for hours. House Speaker John Boehner isn't sure the airstrikes will ultimately defeat ISIS, however. He says that could mean American ground forces in the end.
Maybe we can get enough of these forces trained and get them on the battlefield, but somebody's boots have to be there.
Boehner, a guest on ABC TV's This Week program, he says now that the president has committed to defeating ISIS, there is no turning back. An American doctor who was exposed to the Ebola virus while volunteering in Sierra Leone is expected to be admitted for observation as early as today at a special isolation unit at the NIH's hospital near the nation's capital. The agency says the move is